Amaziah was the son of Joash. And his father Joash started reigning at an extremely young age because his grandmother had killed all the heirs of the throne of David. Everyone but him. Let's take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 22. And we'll be flipping between 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings a lot tonight. But 2 Chronicles 22. And we're going to start with verse 10. It says, "Now when Adaliah, the mother of Amaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring of the house of Judah. But Jehoshaphat, the king's daughter, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the king priest, for she was a sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Adaliah so that she would not put him to death. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Adaliah reigned over the land." Adaliah eventually was killed and Joash was placed on the throne. But he was quite young when he took the throne. And his uncle, Jehoiada, the high priest, lived and helped Joash basically reign in his early years. And while he lived, Joash was a good king. But after Jehoiada died, Joash began following bad advice. Take a look at 2 Chronicles 24 and look at verse 17. "But after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. They abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this, their guilt. He also sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. Though they testified against them, they would not listen." And so, eventually, let me continue a little bit longer. God then tried to basically send the son of Jehoiada to talk to Joash. In verse 20, "Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, 'Thus God has said, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you.' So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him to death in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which his father Jehoiada had shown him, but he murdered his son. And as he died, he said, 'May the Lord see and avenge.'" Eventually, Joash is assassinated by his own servants. In chapter 25, 2 Chronicles 25, and in verse 2, it says he did, I'm on 24, verse 23. Get my marker here so I can keep track of where I'm at. So in 2 Chronicles 24, and in verse 23, it says, "Now it happened at the turn of the year that the army of the Arameans came up against him, And they came to Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed all the officials of the people from among the people, and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. Indeed, the army of the Arameans came with a small number of men, yet the Lord delivered a very great army into their hands. And because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers, thus they executed judgment on Joash. When they had departed from him, for they left him very sick, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and murdered him on his bed. And so he died and he was buried. They buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. They really didn't like this king. They had no respect for him. And so while they did give him a burial, he wasn't buried with the rest of the kings of Judah because of all the things that he had done, because he had murdered the high priest's son, who was actually his cousin. So Amaziah, his son, becomes king. And he had a reputation of doing what was right, but he wasn't fully dedicated to God. In verse 2 of chapter 25, he said he did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. In a way, he was too much like his father. Take a look at 2 Kings chapter 14. 2 Kings 14, and we're going to look at verse 3. He did right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all that Joash his father had done. And one of the early problems that Amaziah had was that he didn't do anything about the idolatry in his country that his father had allowed in. In fact, the very next verse, 2 Kings 14 and verse 4, says, only the high priest's places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense on the high places. So while he was doing right in general, he didn't try to turn anything else around. Overall, though, he was a just king. For instance, the murders of his father, he took, brought justice to them. In 2 Chronicles 25, and starting at verse 3, it says, now it came about as soon as the kingdom was firmly in his grasp that he killed the servants who had slain his father, the king. However, he did not put their children to death, but did as written in the law of the book of Moses, which the Lord commanded, saying, fathers shall not be put to death for the sons, nor sons be put to death for the fathers, but each shall be put to death for his own sin. So he was just. He didn't go out for revenge and say, I'm going to wipe out all their family. These people committed murder, and they were put to death because of the murder they committed. But one of the biggest flaws Amaziah had was that he was really eager to prove himself. He wanted a war. And what had happened is back in the days of King David, David had conquered Edom, which are distant relationships to the Israelites. And he made the country of Edom subjugated to Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 8 and in verse 13, it says, so David made a name for himself when he returned from killing 18,000 Armenians in the Valley of Salt. He put garrisons in Edom. In all of Edom, he put garrisons, and in all the Edomites became servants to David, and the Lord helped David wherever he went. So take note of that. David made a name for himself. This was something that people remembered. David conquered Edom and put garrisons out there. They had everything. Edom was completely subjugated to Israel. But in Amaziah's great-grandfather's day, that would be Jehoram, Edom revolted. And if we go to 2 Chronicles 21, 2 Chronicles 21, and look at verse 8. In his day, that's Jehoram, Edom revolted against the rule of Judah and set up a king over themselves. Then Jehoram crossed over with his commanders and all his chariots with him, and he rose by night and struck down the Edomites who were surrounding him and the commanders of the chariots. So Edom revolted against Judah to this day. Then Libnah revolted at the same time against his rule because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Jehoram was losing control. He went and tried to squash the rebellion in Edom. He was not successful. Because of that, Libnah then also decided they were going to rebel. And slowly the things that were put together underneath David and Solomon started to collapse. And it appears that Amaziah decided he wanted that territory back. And so he took a census and found that he had 300,000 warriors to call upon. Going to 2 Chronicles 25 in verse 5. Moreover, Amaziah assembled Judah and appointed them to according to their father's household, under commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, throughout Judah and Benjamin. And he took a census of those who, from 20 years old and upward, and found them to be 300,000 choice men, able to go to war and handle spear and shield. That's a good size army, especially in those days. That's a huge army. But Amaziah wasn't really trusting that that was enough. And so he decided to also hire some mercenaries. In verse 6, he says he also hired 100,000 valiant warriors out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. Now remember, a talent of silver means 75 pounds. So he hired these men for 7,500 pounds of silver. That's a lot of silver. But he wasn't certain he was going to get enough. So now he has an army of 400,000. But a prophet comes to Amaziah and told him, you don't need these men. In verse 7 it says, but the man of God came to him saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel nor with any of the sons of Ephraim. You don't want these people on your team. God's against Israel. They've been sinning quite badly. Ahab and his likes have caused a lot of problems up there. And God says, don't have these people go along. Instead, God told him that he would give Edom to Amaziah without any of those extra men. In verse 8, yet if you go, do it, be strong for battle, yet God will bring you down before the enemy, for God has the power to help and to bring down. He said, basically, if you take these men, you're going to lose. You leave these men behind, God will give you Edom. Then Amaziah pointed out, well, I've already paid 100 talents of silver for these guys. So in verse 9, then Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given the troops of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord has as much more to give you than this. Then Amaziah dismissed them, the troops which came with him from Ephraim, to go home. So their anger burned against Judah, and they returned home in fierce anger. Now, just so you understand, isn't this what a lot of us do? We make a bad choice or we make a bad investment. And rather than stopping, we convince ourselves, well, I've already spent good money for this. It'd be a shame to stop now. Might as well go ahead and use it. That's what Amaziah was arguing. But Amaziah forgot the proverb that Solomon had left in Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 22. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. We tend to look too much at the short-term sacrifice instead of looking at the long-term gain. The investor purchased stock in a company and realizes losing money, but he holds on to it thinking, well, he can't sell it now at a loss. And so he loses more money. The smoker knows he should quit, but he's already spent money on this pack of cigarettes, so he might as well use them up, then he'll quit. Of course, by that time, he bought another pack. Continuing something bad doesn't make it good. Amaziah's hesitancy shows us that, yes, he listened to God, but he's not giving his whole heart to God. He's not really committed to God. So he dismissed the men, and they left furious. That's what it says in verse 10. While they got paid and didn't have to go to battle, you think, well, hey, I got money for nothing, right? But see, from their point of view, they missed the opportunity to gain from the spoils of war. See, soldiers didn't get just paid the money they got paid to fight. The people they raided and conquered, they got to take all their goods. And they're looking and say, hey, look at all the money we lost. Yeah, we got paid, but we didn't get the bonus. Okay, and they probably saw it as an insult that, you think we're not good enough for battle. And so as they went back, they decided, well, we're going to loot them anyway. So take a look at verse 13. But the troops whom Amaziah had sent back from going with him to battle raided the cities of Judah from Samaria to Beth-horam and struck down 3,000 of them and plundered much spoil. So as they go home, they raid Judah, kill 3,000 people, and then take the goods in the cities. Now, this is not mentioned again directly for a little bit, but it becomes a significant point. Meanwhile, Amaziah is going to war with Edom. So these people are heading north. Amaziah is heading south to battle Edom. And he does a great job. He kills 10,000 people in battle. Another 10,000 people are captive. And then he kills all the captives. Take a look at chapter 25, 2 Chronicles 25, verse 11. Now Amaziah strengthened himself and led his people forth and went to the Valley of Salt and struck down 10,000 of the sons of Seir. The sons of Judah also captured 10,000 alive and brought them up to the top of the cliff and threw them down from the top of the cliff so that they were dashed to pieces. Kind of cruel. And it's actually against God's laws. But then Amaziah does something really, really strange. God just gave him the battle. He told him, okay, if you do it this way, you'll win. Amaziah won. But then look at verse 14. Now, after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, he brought the gods of the sons of Seir, and set them up as his gods, bowed down before them, and burnt incense to them. And you're going, what is going on in his head? How could it possibly, if you think about it from a logical point of view, here's this nation, you just conquered them. And now you want to worship their gods? Their gods didn't keep them from being conquered. God gave him the victory when he did as God directed. But then he replaces God with idols. Now, like other idolaters, we can probably say quite readily that Amaziah was not thinking. Isaiah mentions this over in chapter 44. Isaiah 44 in verse 19. No one recalls, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I burnt half of it in the fire and also baked bread over his coals. I roasted meat and eat it. Then I make the rest of it into an abomination. I fall down before a block of wood. Idols have no power. And worse, if these idols were so great, you know, why did he eat them loose? At least there is a small reason when back in the older days, or actually after this, Ahaz decides to worship the gods of the country that defeated him. Take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 23. This is talking about King Ahaz. He said he sacrificed to the gods of Damascus, which defeated him. And said, because of the gods of the kings of Aram, help them, I will sacrifice to them that they may help me. But it became a downfall to him and of all Israel. As one commentator, Matthew Henry, noted, it would have made more sense for Amaziah to cast the idols off the cliff and give mercy to the prisoners than what he did. The only thing I can think of possibly that's going on is that Amaziah is mad at God because while he was going down to Edom, doing what God directed, those guys back there killed 3,000 of his people and raided his towns. And all because he told them to, you know, go back home, and they were mad. And I could see him being mad at God for letting that happen. And isn't that what many people do? They follow God while things go their way, but they're real quick to blame God when things go bad. Now, God rightly is furious, and he sends a prophet to rebuke Amaziah. Going back to chapter 25, and look at verse 15. Then the anger of the Lord burnt against Amaziah, and he sent a prophet and said to, who said to him, why have you sought the gods of the people who have not delivered their own people from your hand? But Amaziah doesn't offer God any excuses. Verse 16, it says, as he was talking with him, the king said to him, have we appointed you a royal counselor? Stop. Why should you be struck down? And then the prophet stopped and said, I know that God has planned to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. He just basically told the guy, I didn't ask your advice. So either close your mouth or you're going to be killed. But the prophet manages to get the last word in anyway. He attacks the prophet who is, by asking who made him king advisor. Amaziah was willing to listen earlier when he thought he could gain from God's advice. Now that he looks at it and thinks he lost to God's advice, I'm not listening to God anymore. That's why it makes me think that's why he got those idols. He doesn't want to hear what God has to say. He's both ungrateful and he's dumb. He's foolish. He threatens to kill the prophet. You know what? That's just what his father did to the prophet who he didn't want to listen to. Go back to chapter 24 and verse 20 again. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, thus says God, who has said, why have you transgressed the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. So they conspired against him at the command of the king, and they stoned him to death in the courts of the house of the Lord. Think about that. His father killed a prophet in the temple court by stoning him. But like I said, the prophet still manages to get the last word in. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29, and look at verse 1. A man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. In other words, Amaziah, in his pride, foolishly rejects the advice of a man who comes to rescue him from God's anger. That's why the prophet's there. So which do you think is the more foolish act? So Amaziah returns to take on Israel, because he blames Israel too. Hey, I hired your men and look what you let your men do. So he goes to attack Israel. In 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 17, then Amaziah, king of Judah, took counsel and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoazah, the son of Jehu, the king of Israel, saying, come, let us face each other. Joash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thorn bush, which was in Lebanon, sent to the cedar, which was in Lebanon, saying, give me your daughter to my son in marriage. But there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trampled the thorn bush. You said, behold, you have defeated Edom, and your heart has become proud in boasting. Now stay at home, for why should you provoke trouble so that you, even you, would fall and Judah with you? Actually, that's good advice. He's saying, you're too small to take on me, is basically what he's saying. And you're too proud. And you're going to lose. But God made sure Amaziah was too prideful to listen. And the king took advice to challenge Israel. But verse 20, but Amaziah would not listen, for it was from God, that he might deliver them into the hands of Joash, because they had sought the gods of Edom. And that's what happened to Pharaoh. When God wanted to make a display of Egypt, he put Pharaoh in charge and then played him so that Pharaoh would be too stubborn to let the Israelites go. Look, take a look at Rome, Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then, he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault for who resists his will? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does the potter have the right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to take and make his power known, endured with much patience the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. Egypt was corrupt. It was sinful. God decided it had to go. And he was going to do it in a spectacular way, such that his name would be glorified. That's why Pharaoh was put in charge. Not because he was such a great king. It's actually because he was such a lousy king. In fact, that's what happens to most people who turn against God. Take a look at Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Now, not surprising, Amaziah lost. So in 2 Chronicles 25, starting at verse 21, so Joash, the king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, the king of Judah, faced each other at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. Judah was defeated by Israel, and they fled each to his tent. Then Joash, the king of Israel, captured Amaziah, the king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, tore down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. He took all the gold and silver and all the utensils which are found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. Amaziah got more than he was bargaining for. He didn't just lose a little bit. He was one of the spoils of war, along with his entire household. God had offered him wealth. You remember that? God, he said, well, what am I going to do about all that money I already spent? God said, I got plenty. I'll give you more. Just do what I say. He turned his back on God. He didn't just not get more. He lost everything he had. Now take a look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and in verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. 15 years later, Amaziah never turned back to God. I suspect that even in his defeat, he's blaming God. No, this would never have happened if I'd done it my way, if I hadn't started listening to God. I can see him just arguing that all the way through, all the time he's in the jail cell. And ironically, he too is killed by his own people. Take a look at 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 27. From that time, Amaziah turned away from following the Lord. They conspired against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, but they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. There's a little bit of difference, though, between Joash and his son. His father was killed quietly by two disgusted servants. Amaziah was pursued publicly by his own unhappy people and then killed. He was chased down in public. You see, half-hearted service doesn't keep a person devoted to the Lord. Amaziah was what you would call a fair-weather follower. And there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians, at least while things go well. Take a look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Those are the people that are trying to play both sides. Israel tried to do that. Take a look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and in verse 34. When he killed them, then they sought him and returned and searched diligently for God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, their Redeemer. But they deceived him with their mouth and lied to him with their tongue. For their heart was not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And often he restrained his anger and did not arouse all his wrath. Thus he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes and does not return. That's the way Israel treated God. They did not give God their full heart. It was Amaziah who rejected God. Even though God sent a prophet to rebuke him, to turn him away from a path that was going to destroy him. And we need to think about that. What about ourselves? Are we following God only because it's convenient? What happens when adversity strikes? Will it find you turning your back on God who loves you? Will you end up blaming God? Or realizing that you need to lean on God more? I hope you think about these things. If there's anyone here tonight, again, we offer the opportunity. If there's anyone who is not a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that's selected.